Hello and welcome to Navigating Nursing. My name is Laura Whitehead and I'm your host. I'm a qualified adult nurse, a critical care nurse, lecturer, senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy and a doctoral student. And welcome to Navigating Nursing. And I'm joined today by Captain Stephen Worsley. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's the first time I've ever been on a podcast. It should be good fun and very exciting.
Well, welcome. I'm going to take you right back to the beginning. Why did you decide that you wanted to be a nurse?
This is a very good question, actually. So originally, I wanted to be a PTI in the RAF, but when I went into the recruitment office, it didn't go very well. So I ended up walking into the Army Careers Office, and they were recruiting nurses at the time. And because it was close to helping people out with respects like training and being healthy, it was something that I was interested in, and I thought it would be a nice segue. So I kind of stumbled on it, really. And once I started going through nursing university, I actually really enjoyed it. So it became something of an interest to a passion. So it's where I found myself even now.
Well, good that the first recruitment office didn't go so well then. That was a good career change.
Yes, completely missed opportunity there for the RAF and a complete
Yeah,
gain for
totally.
the Army, obviously.
Obviously. And you did your training at Birmingham City University. Did you know during your training where you wanted to be when you first qualified, or what your kind of speciality that you were interested in?
Trying to remember now. No, I think at the time, because I spent all my placements at City Hospital and Sandwell, and I also did a placement for older adults at Richmond at the old Star and Garter before they moved. So I didn't have much experience of what different postings or specialities were open within the military as a whole. So I wanted to keep general because I spent my first posting out at university at the QA Hospital in Portsmouth. And after I did my preceptorship, I spent a lot of time in surgical high care. And I quite liked that sort of high dependency step down from intensive care. But no, I wanted to keep myself able to post as widely as possible.
And you're now a deputy senior nursing officer at Defence Primary Healthcare. So is that the reason then that you wanted to move into primary healthcare?
Yes and no. I was very fortunate to get an opportunity to post into 16 Air Assault Brigade, and went to 16 Medical Regiment and to 7 Para RHA. And it was when I was coming towards the end of 16 Medical Regiment and the start of working in the regimental aid post for 7, that was showing the opportunity to go do primary healthcare as well as pre-hospital emergency care. And I liked the primary care more because it's a little bit more diverse, and it's got a wider scope of knowledge and things that you can actually do. Not saying that you can't have it, you know, being on a battlefield trying to like patch people up, but you've got the public health side, forced health protection, you know, vaccinating people, making sure that the travel aspects that they can deploy. And then you've also got, you know, the musculoskeletal injuries, doing assessments of people and, you know, looking after them from when they start getting minor illnesses and injuries, and actually seeing them become fit again and good to deploy. So I really started to tend towards that, and that kept me engaged, and I found it very interesting, to be honest. And yeah, that was what made me want to go down that route. And unfortunately, I was selected to get funding by the military for them to put me through the university modules to then be able to do primary health care. And I was also very fortunate that 7 RHA actually supported me through it as well. So they really let me
Amazing.
kind of run with it. So I could do the uni work, but also consolidate and learn while working at Colchester Med Centre, as well as doing, you know, regimental duties as well for the RAP. So it was a really nice blend. So yeah, I was very fortunate with that, really.
And how did you find going back to university and doing that PG cert?
I'm quite academic, really. I really enjoyed it. I'd do it again. And now that I've completed that and I've done additional modules, I finished evidence-based practice last year and I've just finished
Congratulations.
negotiated learning. Thank you. So I'll be looking at doing some of the level 7 modules and trying to work towards a master's in it, really, if I'm entirely honest. So yeah, I liked it. It was good fun. Mind you, it's a lot harder to write a 3,000 word assignment than a 6,000 word assignment when you're suddenly having to cut out loads of the information that is relevant, but you know, it doesn't necessarily help your point. So I think
You know,
there's quite a
I'm the
few
same.
people.
I think I've deleted more words than I've ever submitted for any academic assignments ever. Yeah, and it feels a shame, doesn't it, when you've put all that work in and then you've gone, oh no, the word limit. What was it again?
Yes, that 10% rules, that's so annoying.
I know. Why
You
couldn't they just make it 25? Wouldn't that just make life a little bit easier?
I
The
100%
markers somewhere.
agree.
But it's a
It's
lecturer who does the marking, and we don't want 25%.
no.
So you're quite clear about your career and kind of where you see it going. What advice have you got for anyone that wants to look at primary healthcare, particularly defence primary healthcare?
I think the best advice I can give anyone is to, if you're a civilian, is a GP surgery or a walk-in centre and seeing what the nurses there deliver, because it's quite similar in some ways to what we deliver within the defence primary healthcare. And if you're, I don't know, a medic or a healthcare assistant or a nurse in the military, then trying to get into a DPHC or trying to get into a med center and actually experience what we do. And also because we have a lot of civilian staff and civilian nurses in our primary health, you know, they're really friendly, really open, and I'm sure a lot of them wouldn't mind, you know, being, you know, contacted or available to give advice. But I think it's seeing it. I think the ability to actually speak to someone and understand what you're going to deliver and what you're likely to see. So if you don't like spots or, you know, pussy wounds, or you don't like, I've hurt my ankle, then it's probably not for you. If you really like intubated patients that are really high dependency and, you know, you've got all knobs and dials and, you
35
know,
million drip stands.
syringes, yeah, if, you know, if that's your bag, then, you know, you're better off going down that ITU sort of route. And if you like a high pressure, high pace, then, you know, you've got ED out there, or you've got pre-hospital emergency care as well. So that's more like medical regiments. And if you like surgery and surgical care, then you've got the multi-role medical units or medical regiments. Now, the old, what used to be called field hospitals. So now we've got the MMRs. So, you know, it's whatever you as a nurse, you know, actually like. I don't like intubated patients and I hate drip stands, so I'm absolutely never going to be an ITU nurse. I think the big thing is interest. You have to be interested, because if you're interested, you're engaged. And if you're interested and engaged, then you become better and more competent at it. And as your competency increases, then your capability increases. And that's where you start to expand your career and your skill set. Whereas if you're not interested at that initial stage, then you end up just, you know, being very narrow, and you just do not necessarily the minimum, but you follow, you know, I do this, I do this, without going, can I do this as well? Or can I take this on? Or can I do this as an additional skill or duty or what have you? So I think that's one thing for me. I've not worked in the NHS as a civilian. I've always been in the military as I've gone through my nursing career. And I think that's one of the things that defence has, which is better than the NHS, is we're allowed to branch out more. So when I was at 16, I had secondary duties as a PTI. So going through the ranks, it meant I could take PT sessions, which then meant I could then do P company, which then meant we can like prepare people, do health fairs, and do nursing. But if you're in the NHS, you don't necessarily get that opportunity, do you? You know, if you want to do any extra courses, it's now annual leave, or you have to beg, borrow, and steal to try and get someone to cover you for an hour so you can do your ultrasound top up if you're going to do bladder scans, or you know, these sorts of things. So I think that's one thing that defence nursing and the defence as a whole for career progression is brilliant, and also for developing wider skills and more diverse locations. So, you know, most people spend a lot of time in one or two hospitals because that's where your family is, that's where you live, or your children are going to school. Whereas, you know, every 2, 3 years you're posted, and then you can go anywhere from, you know, bottom of the country, top of the country, go to Gibraltar, go to Cyprus, go to Kenya, you know, all over the world, and that would be a posting for you. So, you know, I think there's a lot of experiences that you can gain, and I'm sure when you have a few of the other defence nurses on, you'll listen to their experiences and where they've been, and noting a few names on a, I know that there's some deployments they've been on, you go, oh wow, that's completely different to what you'd expect in a NHS hospital.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think that's quite important really.
Very. And what advice have you got for any student nurses that are studying at the moment?
Make the most of your time as a student. I'm gonna say I would probably bet a house on it that your mentors while you're a student nurse will tell you to make the most of it, and it'll go in one ear and out the other, because you'll never truly appreciate it until you've lost that freedom to go see that surgery or to go escort that patient to a completely different department. Because the second you're working, that's now your role, so you can't go out and do all the extra, not necessarily exciting things, some of them are, but all the extra bits that will help broaden your knowledge. So make the most of all your opportunities that you have available to you, and appreciate the fact that this is the most freedom you're going to get to actually go and explore. Unless, of course, you're a what's it called? If you do NHSP or agency, unless you're agency, and then you can go choose where you want to work and then have that freedom. But yeah, make the most of it and enjoy it really, because you've not got the pressure until you're the mentor, and it's your pin on the line, and you're the one that's got to sign off someone else.
That's true. And I don't think that's, I think a lot of students, I don't think I was aware of that during my training. And I hadn't actually occurred to me the pressure or that it being on you and you being accountable and responsible. Yeah, from a PIN and from a legal point of view, it wasn't until I qualified and it was like, this is on me, the buck stops with me, my signature, my name, my whatever. Yeah, I think that's something that can take a little while to realise that change from being a student to then being qualified.
Completely. One thing I would give for the students out there at the moment is really pay attention to your mentors and to the nurses around you who might not be your mentor, but you work with, and just reflect on what you see and what you think is good practice that you want to take, put in your top pocket and replicate for yourself. And then look at what you see out there that you go, do you know what? I don't want to be dot dot dot, whatever that is. That could be, I don't want to be the nurse that just has, oh, you know, this is what we do, or this is the information. I give the patient this patient information leaflet. All the information I need is on that. And you go, actually, I want to know more about the subject. So learn about it. So find what you don't like, find what you do like, and try to make your cohort of students, junior nurses, once you've qualified, better. Because ultimately, my generation of nurses should be better than the ones before us because we've learned from their mistakes. And the ones that are coming through now should be better than we are because you should learn from our mistakes and we should always be aiming to improve. And I think, generally speaking, students and junior nurses and senior nurses, we none of us go out to do a bad job and we're all there for our patients and we all want to care for our patients. And we also want to help others, otherwise you wouldn't become a nurse, So I think making sure that is it Dan Carter from the All Blacks says like you should leave your shirt in a better place than you got it. And I think this is what we should be doing as a profession. And that's what I'd always tell students is learn from everyone around you. You don't have to necessarily agree with everything, but make it better. And you'll find your own career path and you'll find what works for you because nursing is also very individual. As long as you treat people with respect, pass that in, it's your personality and your persona and how you treat people is probably the best advice I can give. And for God's sake, make sure you always take cakes to the restroom. We love cakes and we love chocolate.
We do. And when there's got to be some
100%.
perks, hasn't there? Like, even if we have to bring the perks ourselves, there does have to be them.
This is
It's an
it.
important
Every
part.
day is a cake day. I'm
It
just
is.
saying.
We shouldn't wait for
But
Fridays
no,
or Sundays or whatever. Last night shift, whatever the
it
celebration is.
is.
And where do you overall see your career going? You mentioned that you'd like to do some further study, some level seven modules, but what are your aims for the future?
Oddly enough, I came through the ranks, going from student nurse, worked up to staff sergeant, and then I commissioned last year. So this is my first.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This is my first officer role. So I'm a junior captain, but experienced nurse, I suppose. But I've had to reflect a lot on the officer career that's open to me. So either staying clinical within primary health care or trying to go down the staff and command policy type role. And I'm not too sure if I'm entirely honest.
It's
I'd
a big
like both.
decision.
It is. I think I want to, I would like to do this again. So go back into DPHC as another, deputy nursing officer or a senior nursing officer if it's a smaller practice. But I wouldn't rule out going into some of the staff roles that are out there or some of the command roles and looking after or leading a squadron. But I'm sure you'll hear through some of the officers that you're going to speak to, the career diversity is vast.
Massive. I've been really
And
surprised at how diverse that people's careers have been.
it is absolutely phenomenal. And I don't really know. I don't know what I don't know just yet, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing at the moment. Because for civilian nurses out there, generally speaking, our other ranks or the ones that come through, corporal, sergeant, etc., so the non-commissioned ranks. They generally tend to go down joint hospital groups. So they'll be in certain hospitals across the country and work in secondary care. They'll either go to the MMRs or the old field hospitals and they'll be in there. There'll be the field army where they'll do medical regiments. So I did medical 60 medical regiment, which is the airborne brigade. So they're always very high readiness. They're the ones that are always going out and supporting, humanitarian NEOs, which is evacuations of non-military people. So op-pitting, bringing Afghanistan civilians back that helped us. And then you've got RAPs or regimental aid posts. And again, they tend to go out and support units if they do exercise or if they deploy. And while they're in camp or in the UK, they tend to be doing primary health care. And if they deploy, they'll do the pre-hospital emergency care. So they'll pop up their tent wherever it is, and that's where a casualty will go to before they then go off to the field hospital if required. So that tends to be the sort of ranked or non-commissioned ranked nurses, and then you have the ability to do your entire career like that with secondary duty. So you could do your PTI course, or you can do other bits within the military, like instructors, if you want to do like skill at arms or tree courses, drill. But when once you go for the officers, you then you can like manage the the medical center. You can go command a squadron. We've recently had the first nurse who's a CO. You've got nurse practitioners. Then you can go do policy. It's slightly different. There's a little bit more towards the, the leadership and the management side, but there's still the clinical side. And yeah, so it is very, very vast and slightly different depending on what you do, really.
Very, lots of options.
Yes, well, I suppose it's no different than the NHS, is it? I mean,
Yeah.
or because you're a lecturer, aren't you, as well as a
Yeah.
nurse,
Yeah,
you know?
yeah, yeah. And I'm doing a doctorate as well. So
Oh
that's
wow, and
part time.
research as well. Oh yeah, I forgot about research. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
the other thing.
Can't forget about all the fun of research, and the ethics proposals. But yeah, no, and you're right. And it's sometimes it's having to make that decision between clinical or management or teaching or research, and where does your career fit in? Where do your goals fit in with it within those kind of different areas, and how do they overlap?
Yeah,
And where do
I
you want it?
think
Big decisions.
that's, and like I said way back at the beginning before some long rambly answers, is if you're interested, if you go for interest and then you find a passion, then it gives you direction. And if you don't find the direction, at least you have an appreciation and you've got a better skill set and you know more. And that ultimately makes you a better nurse and, gives you the opportunity to broaden your horizons and everything from personal life to professional life, I think that's, personal philosophy at the end of the day, but I think it's something to consider.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for joining me today and for sharing all your advice and your career, for all of my listeners. So thank you very much.
No, it's been a pleasure.